Hi, ladies. Somebody give me a thumbs up that you can hear me okay tonight. Pretty please. I appreciate you waiting. Corinne had a call tonight. All right. Susan can hear me. Awesome. Corinne had a call tonight, and the last thing I needed to do was bounce her off her call. So we decided I would just start about 5 minutes late. So welcome to Office Hours. We're here for a couple of hours. Feel free to go ahead and raise your hand if you'd like to be coached. And we'll get started. Let's see, there is one hand raised, two hands raised. Awesome. Susan, you are first. All right, Susan, look for the join audio in the bottom left of your screen.
Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
All right.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good.
So, I think you chatted with me real quick on our discussion on the Facebook page.
Okay.
Last night. My husband is a wonderful person. He's always asking how he can help me. And I get very defensive and I get really teary-eyed immediately. I don't know how he can help me. I don't know what to tell him to do. I did journal about it today to try and figure it out or start to figure out my feelings on this. He has never had to deal with any kind of weight loss or weight problem at all, besides maybe having to gain weight. I guess the things that I wrote down were, he can't relate to being overweight. He doesn't need to lose weight. I'm an adult. Why can't I do this on my own? I should be able to do this on my own. Why can't I? If I fail again, it'll be on me, not him. And one of my biggest ones is I'm a procrastinator, and eventually I'll get it done. But I think I've said that for years and years and years.
And I don't think that's it.
And I lose it, and then I get it back, and I lose it, and I get it back.
I don't think the procrastination is it.
Okay.
I think it's the self-judgment.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's the, why can't I do this on my own? I shouldn't have to ask for help.
Okay.
And compound that with the person that's offering to help doesn't understand me because he's never had this problem. Okay, so what you've done is you've created this island for yourself. Have you heard Corinne talk about Corinne's weight loss island? Has that podcast?
No,
I don't think that podcast has dropped yet. I think you're on Susan's weight loss island, and your husband doesn't deserve to be there. Therefore, he can't help, and it just makes you angry.
Yeah.
So let me just sit on my weight loss island and be miserable and leave me alone because you don't get me anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you didn't feel all that, if you were completely open to your husband or your best friend or your sister or your kids or me or somebody helping you, what would you tell us to do?
I don't know.
Sure you do. One thing. What would you ask us to do? One thing.
Tell me not to give up.
Okay. Perfect. What else? So encourage you, right?
Yeah.
Love you. Yeah. That's the first thing. Encourage you.
Mm-hmm.
What else?
I don't know. I have so much self-doubt in myself.
That's where the pain point is. It's not with your husband. Right?
No, I know it's not. I just get so defensive.
Mm-hmm. You get defensive.
I try to explain the self-hate, the talking bad to myself. I can't. He just doesn't understand it. Mm-hmm. Why can't I just stop it? And it's a bad habit. It's a horrible, horrible habit that I've had for years.
So what if it is just a habit? What can you do with habits?
I can change it.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, it's a habit, yes, but it doesn't have to be a horrible habit. It can just be a habit that you've practiced for a while and that you're open to correcting, changing. right? Are you?
Yeah.
Yeah. So how do you do that?
Make little changes and keep doing them.
Little tiny baby steps. But the very first step is to catch yourself when you're doing it. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
All you have to do, hang on just a second. I got to get, for some reason, my Facebook is up. I think it was because I was posting that I was going to be late. Yeah, I need that off. So the very first step is creating what we call awareness, right? Mm-hmm. It's such a great word because it indicates that we're open and aware to what's going on around us and what we're doing to ourselves and what we're saying to ourselves. You're not going to jump from, okay, I'm not talking to myself again, to not talk bad again, to never talking to yourself bad again. It's not going to happen. You're not going to jump there. What you have to do first is recognize when you're doing it. That's always step number one. Then when you see it, that's when you just shine a light on it and say, there it is. I can't believe I just said that to myself. Then you answer yourself by saying, we don't think that way anymore.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And then when your husband comes up to you and says, Susan, how can I help you today? And you go, I wish I didn't need any help. You can say, wait, I have a loving husband who wants to help me. I can use his help. How can I use his help? And that's where you open up your mind to all the different ways he can help you.
Okay.
You're looking at me like, nope.
No, I get it. It's stuff that I've thought about many times. I just never do anything about it.
So. Why not? Tell me what you've thought about that you haven't done.
Stopping those thoughts, for one thing.
Okay.
So
what do you do when you see that thought, when you see those thoughts come through, what do? You agree with them?
Sometimes growl at myself. Like, why are you doing this?
Yeah. Well, that's okay. We don't want to do this anymore. You know, you might not want to beat yourself up because you're beating yourself up, but you might want to say, you know, I don't think beating myself up is really helpful here.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah, I agree. I totally agree.
So, because what does beating yourself lead to?
This.
Mm-hmm. And
upset over someone wanting to help me.
Yeah. It's funny. Is it just him? You get itchy when people offer you help in the tribe?
No. No. I take whatever. I don't have an accountability partner or anything, which is my next step I know I need to do, but if I ever post anything, it's all that makes sense.
So why don't you have an accountability partner?
I joined in January, got all ready to go and kind of put it aside. And so now I'm on spring break. I'm a teacher. So I'm on spring break this week and I've been doing some homework and mm-hmm. trying to figure out what I need to do. So I did some journaling today for the first time and.
Sounds like you did a good one.
Because I realize that this is something that's standing in my way.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I need to get over it. So.
And that's the beauty of a thought download and of journaling is you start one place where, you know, why can't I let my husband help me? And you end up in it because I don't help myself.
Mm-hmm.
And that's essentially what it is by beating yourself up, by sitting in self-doubt, by not moving forward into action, you're not helping yourself either.
Yes.
That's mm-hmm. the model right there.
Yeah. Yeah. I just did that module, so I haven't done any practice thought
downloads. That's okay.
Which is where I think it would be a good place to start, to even mm-hmm. practice them and just post them and see if I'm looking in the right way. So, mm-hmm.
So why do you doubt that you'll have success losing weight?
Because I've failed so many times before.
And is the past where we look to see what we're going to create in the future?
No.
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 It's really not, but that's an important point. Okay. Cause I think many times we go through that. We say, you know, why is this going to work? Why is this different? I've always failed. I'll probably fail this too. And when you go into it with that attitude, guess what you're going to do?
I'm going to fail.
You're going to question every single step. You're going to question every single person who offers to help you. You're going to tell yourself that you're not worth the effort. You're going to sit in self-doubt, and you're not going to create any weight loss results.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to catch yourself in those thoughts and say, and just tell yourself, well, maybe this one's different.
Okay.
Maybe I can decide that this time is different.
Okay.
And why can you decide that this time is different? Because it makes sense.
It does.
It does makes make a lot of sense. So much sense.
Mm-hmm.
It's just crazy how much sense it makes. It's like, I wish somebody had taught me this stuff, you know, while I was growing up, while I was eating my way through Oreo bags and all those things that I ate my way through.
Mm-hmm.
Does that help?
Yeah, it does.
Three things off the top of your head now. Now that you're in a better mood, three things your husband can help with. Well, you've already given me one. Two more.
I guess give me ideas on, not maybe ideas like on how to get moving and not just so much exercise, but actually moving. He's always asking, do you want to go for a walk? Do you want to do some yoga? Yeah. Do some stretching to be open to that. And usually I do the meal planning. Usually I figure out what I want to have for the week and I just let him help because there's stuff that he likes that I don't like that just because I plan it doesn't mean he can't have it. So,
right. My husband and I plan together every week and I make what he wants for his lunches and I make what I want for my lunches. Sometimes it's the same, but sometimes it's not.
Mm-hmm.
But having him as a participant in the planning really helps me. It helps generate ideas. Helps buy in from the family.
Yeah.
So see, he can help you.
He can help me.
That's right.
I will work on those self-doubt and stopping it right away. Stopping that negative talk right
Just
away.
Just listen for it and say, there it is. I heard a coach tell me one time, just say, thank you for your feedback. I told Corinne that. She was like,
not out loud, right?
Corinne's like, that's bullshit. Just tell them to stop. Like, okay.
They want to be sweet about it. If not, they screw off.
Well, you know what? That's right. Whatever works for you, right? Whichever voice works for you.
Yeah. All right. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
All right.
See ya. Bye. All right. Who is next? I love having all these hands raised tonight. Stacy, you're next. Look for the bottom right hand, join audio.
All right.
Do you find it? Yes, ma'am.
Okay. I did it right. I'm on my iPad. I knew that was one that people were having problems with.
You know, I don't understand why the iPad is a little bit behind. It won't, I don't think it does watch parties either, but I'm not sure.
I haven't tried that.
I haven't either. I have an iPad, but it's super old and I don't think much of it works anyway. So what's up?
So I am just having a lot of frustration today.
Okay.
Because I feel like I'm just spinning my wheels. I joined the tribe in September.
Mm-hmm.
I started following Corinne and the podcast and everything last July. And since July, I've lost about 11 pounds.
Okay.
Which is good. I don't want to gain them back. That's fine.
Right.
But I feel very frustrated because I feel like, you know, I'm doing what I need to be doing and not getting results. Well, you know.
Oh, you're getting results.
Yeah. Well, yes. Not getting the results I want to get.
Okay.
And I mean, I think there's two things going on. One, for sure, there's been a process of refinement, you know, in that you know, when I started doing things, you know, when I started planning, you know, it was getting the planning down. And now, right now, mm-hmm. I have at least 100 days straight of planning under my belt because I started the 67-day challenge in December. But I had cool. days before that. But today is my 100th day
cool. straight of planning. Good job.
So that's, you know, I've got that down. Then following the plan, you know, I was not necessarily holding myself very well to following the plan. And when Corinne came out with the habit tracker mm-hmm. Worksheet mm-hmm. and I did one for January, you know, in February, it came out, I was only following my plan about half the time.
Okay.
And not all of the other half was overeats, because I know you do this too. That's you're off plan because you eat something that's not on your plan. And then you're off plan because you overeat, whether you were overeating what was on your plan or overeating something that was not on your plan.
So, correct.
So that 50% would include that.
Okay.
So I decided I really needed to buckle down. And I, for the last 13 days, have made my plan and followed my plan to a T. And I'm nothing, the scale is not moving.
Okay.
And so, you know, I have three different Marco Polo groups at this point. I've processed it with two of my groups mm-hmm. Today. And I have a couple of poison thoughts. One okay. is, it's not fair.
Yes.
And, well, now I can't even remember what the other one is, but it's not fair is one.
That's a good one.
And, you know, I know that's not helpful because mm-hmm. it doesn't matter. Like none of it's fair. Like it's not fair. Isn't helpful to me.
Right.
Well, I guess the other poison thought is, this isn't going to work for me because I'm doing everything I need to do and I'm not getting the result I want to get. And therefore I'm the special unicorn, who this isn't going to work for.
Okay. So how are your other basics?
Water is good. I keep track of my water, and sleep is mostly good. I work a lot of long hours, I have to do something. I realized I still had a timer running for work that I needed to turn off since I'm not working right now.
Yeah.
Sorry.
That's okay. I understand. I do the same. Sleep.
So this month has been, you know, up and down with sleep. So I would say sleep. Okay. And also because of the not getting the right, not getting, you know, enough sleep always, and also being very busy with work, exercise has gone by the wayside. And I don't feel, and so this is another thought that I have that's not helpful, which is, yeah, but exercise isn't one of the four basics. So I should be able to, if I'm doing everything else right, the exercise should just be a bonus that I want to do.
Why is that a bad thought? Seems like I've heard those words come out of Corinne's mouth.
Well, I guess I feel like when I think I should be able to do this or I should be able to do that, mm-hmm. that's not a helpful thought, I guess, because, you know.
Yeah, but you can decide. Exercise is a bonus. You can lose weight without, you know, without having to worry about, you know, getting in 7 workouts a week or whatever, 4 basics, and exercise isn't one of them.
Right.
How's the hunger scale?
So I feel like I'm doing well with the hunger scale. I definitely don't have a problem with my -2. Mm-hmm. I don't snack. I just eat 3 meals a day. I would say 95% of the time. There are days when I get hungry and I want a snack and then I have one, but most of the time I don't snack and I don't find it to be an issue. +2 can be harder, but I don't feel like I'm overeating. You know, it's not like I have a meal and I go, oh, I accidentally ate to a 5 or 6.
Right. You know, are you eating to a 3 or 4? More maybe. Often than not?
Mm-hmm. No, I wouldn't say so. I mean, I would say sometimes maybe I'm eating past my 2, but I always feel like when I do that, I really wait for my -2 the next time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, maybe that's not enough. And I've also, you know, I'm better at leaving. I'm pretty good at leaving bites behind, except for at dinner.
Okay. So you're more likely to overeat dinner than the other two meals?
Right.
Okay. So it's good that you wait for minus two to eat again after you've eaten past plus two, but it doesn't fix the eating past plus two. Mm-hmm. Okay. It's still something you need to do. It doesn't fix the overeat. Okay. Right. And we'll just use that general term for eating past plus two, overeat. Okay.
Okay? Yep.
How often do you think, if it's dinner time, do you think it's, you know, five times a week that you eat past your two at dinner?
No. I would say, I'm just thinking back over this week. Let me just look at what I ate so I can kind of see. Like maybe three.
Okay. Maybe. Okay. I think you'll have to dial into that plus two really carefully. It's very easy. I can tell you, for me, it's very easy to confuse plus two and plus three. I have to have that conversation with myself almost every night. Mm-hmm. Okay. And for some reason, I think it's old diet mentality. I feel like my dinner needs to be bigger than my lunch because that's the big meal of the day, right? That's how I grew up. And I just say this because this is the work that I still do is on dinner time. And it sounds like it does you too. If you can frame your dinner in the same with the same outlook that you do lunch, I bet you'll find that you eat less at dinner time.
Yeah.
Do you think?
And I think, yeah. And I think too, what, you know, I have really, I'm hesitant to say conquered, but I'm just going to say it. I've really conquered my after dinner eating. I've tried for so long to, you know, I would eat dinner and then I would eat, you know, then I would just, the eating would begin after the kids went to bed. And I really have stopped that. And I do think there is a certain amount of like, there's a certain amount of that mentality of like, this is when we eat.
Right.
You know, or like not wanting.
Right. And I better get it all in now so that I don't eat anything later.
Yeah. And it's not like to a large extent, but, but there is some of that for sure. Like, you know, I eat my lunch and then I work late and I haven't gone home. I'm still at my office right now. So, and it's an hour later for me than where you are. And I haven't had dinner and I ate lunch at, you know, 12:30 and I'm fine. But I don't have that same feeling after dinner.
So it's 7:30. You ate dinner, I mean lunch 7 hours ago and you're not hungry?
No, it's not that I'm not hungry.
Okay. You're okay with the hunger.
Yeah. Yeah. I've done a lot of intermittent fasting in the past.
Okay.
And so I don't have a lot of issues around being hungry.
Okay. So let's do a little math because I like math. If you overeat, let's say 3 bites every dinner, which seems like nothing, right? It's just three bites.
Right.
That's 21 bites in a week. That's at least one meal, maybe a meal and a half that you have collectively overeaten for the week, and that could keep you in maintenance.
Okay.
That extra meal could keep you in maintenance. So if you pull back 3 or 4 bites every dinner, it would be interesting to see if your if the scale moved for you. How much water do you drink every day?
I would say, I'm just looking at my hash marks. I would say at least 64, you know, usually 80.
Okay. I was going to suggest you bump that a little bit, but sounds like, you know, if you get close to 80, I mean, that's where my body feels good is at 80, and I almost never get it. That's what.
And if I do get it, I'm like, I have to get up in the middle of the night, and then I feel but but I do it anyway.
Yeah. It sounds to me like you might be just maintaining because of this nighttime the dinner time. You're probably working late and going home and heating up dinner and relaxing, and you know, you've been stressed all day, and all that comes, you know, all that comes together at the same time. So you're probably overeating dinner. I bet you're overeating it more than you think you are. So just pay real close attention to that.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I guess, you know, my other thing is just, I feel like, you know, I think that makes sense and I think that's helpful. I'm not sure what to do with my thoughts though, because you know, you're telling me that and I go, that makes perfect sense, Kathy. And like, I'm not a math person, but I'm a logic person. So
what thought are you struggling with?
The thought that I have is, that's fine, Kathy, but like, I have 50 pounds to lose. So, you know, 3-4 bites now is only going to get me so far. And then what's going to happen? Like, you know, what? And so I have that thought, which is just like, I think along the lines of, it's never going to work, right? That's the poison thought I told you about. And then my other poison thought is just like, again, like, it's not fair. Like, I don't, you know, like, I hear people get on and go, well, you know, I stopped eating McDonald's and I just, you know, started losing 3 pounds every week. And I'm like, you know, I haven't eaten McDonald's in like a year and a half. Like, you know, I never eat McDonald's.
All right. So that's a whole nother coaching call. That's called compare.
Right.
Your
right.
body is not the same as a McDonald's eater's body or anyone else's. Right. You have to stay in your lane. You're never going to come up on the good side of compare.
Right.
But back to this, that sounds good, Kathy, but 3 or 4 bites, maybe this isn't for me. You know, it's, what else did you say? I didn't write it down. Maybe it isn't for me. It's not fair. That kind of thing. All that is an excuse to eat. Is that really what you want to give yourself?
Right.
That's all it is. This doesn't work for me. So you get to eat, right? Because it doesn't work. Then you're especially not going to lose weight.
Right?
What if it did work? What if 3 or 4 bites every dinner and you saw a 0.5 pound drop on the scale? What would your thought be?
I mean, I guess I would feel like it's working.
Okay. So 3 or 4 bites gave me 0.5 pound. I wonder if I'm still overeating. That's what my thought would be. Maybe it needs 5 bites. Maybe I need to pull a bite off of lunch too. Maybe I really need to look at whether or not my +2 is really a +2. You don't like that idea at all.
No, I really don't.
Why not? Because you want to eat what you want to eat. You want to eat the quantities you want to eat.
Yeah. And one of my Marco Polo girls said, you feel entitled.
Oh, yes.
And she's like, don't take this wrong way. I'm like, no, you're right. I totally feel entitled. I feel entitled when I'm just eating like healthy food and I'm not eating that much and I'm not like stuffing my face after dinner like I used to, and I'm not snacking like I used to. And I, you know, and I'm.
So I'm what if you're not gaining weight? Because you're not stuffing your face after dinner.
Yeah, I mean, that's good.
What you're eating, I mean, seriously, what you're doing right now, if you think about it broad scope, what you're doing right now is how to maintain.
Right? Well, how to maintain at 185 and 186.
Right. Exactly. Because that's the data. I mean, that's... We could put that in the C line of the model and say, everything you're doing right now maintains 186 or 5 or whatever it was you said, because that's what the scale says.
Right.
So you're really not doing all the things
right
to lose weight.
Right. For me.
Dang it. For you.
And I'm the only one that matters in this, you know, in this equation.
Because you're the only one stepping on your scale at home.
That's right.
So unless you have food to clean up, and you tell me you don't, it's probably the hunger scale. It's I'm going to tell you, the answer to this is almost always the hunger scale. It's almost always the positive side of the hunger scale. I did a Facebook Live once upon a time, long before you came in, that said, I have the secret to losing weight. Stop overeating.
Yeah.
That's all you got to do. But you have to get around the thoughts of entitlement, right? The thoughts that say, this is how I de-stress. The thoughts that say, I work so hard, you know, whatever it is that lead to entitlement. You gotta, just like I was telling the last caller, you gotta hear those and pull the light on them and say, nope, I'd rather lose the weight than maintain 185 and eat these extra few bites. Cause that's what it is. It's a choice. Which do you want? And one of them is going to be a choice in the moment. One of them is going to be satisfaction in the moment. And one is going to be satisfaction long term. So whatever your resolve is about this long term goal is what's going to drive you through these daily moments, these daily decisions.
Okay.
Man, I have ticked two people off tonight. I must be getting good at this.
Three, because one of my Marco Polo girls is listening because she's having the same issue. So she might be ticked off at you too, Kathy.
All right. Corinne will be so proud.
All right. I'm going to do it.
Okay.
I had one of the reasons I had started my streak of staying on plan or really focused on my streak of staying on plan was to be on plan until camp. So I'm going to commit to leaving bites behind at dinner from now until camp, and I'll let you know.
I would love to hear. I would love to hear. If you hear, I'm going to give you a little clue. If you hear the voice in your head say, I wonder if that's enough. I wonder if I'm at my two. Mm-hmm. You're probably at your two.
Okay. Yep.
Stop there. Okay.
All right.
All right.
Thank you, Kathy.
See you in a couple weeks.
Okay.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Who's next? Silky. I don't have video or audio for you. Oh, there's the video. And look in the bottom left for your join audio button.
I found it.
You found it. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. What do you want help with tonight?
So I'm in a better headspace now, but I've been wanting to get on for the last few days. I'm trying to do an intentional model about how to get to phase three or just being momentum. So my backstory is I joined the tribe in September and this is it. You know, I found you guys and this is how it's going to happen. And I, you know, like a light bulb went off and it was just wonderful. And my honeymoon phase was great. September was great. October even greater. November. And then by December, I had the best month ever in my entire life.
Wow. You know,
with the holidays and everything, like my tracker was the best, you know, and I lost most weight. And then January is when I just started, like, other things come up where I feel like I've been handling this so well, and then you put on more on your plate. And then February, I had an exam to study for, and then now I'm just having a hard time getting back on track, and I feel like I'm white-knuckling a lot, and I've done more cheats, and, you know, and all this, like, it's been a slippery slope, and I've been sliding. And I want to get out of this and I want to go to phase three where I'm like doing this and no matter what comes or what life throws at me, this is a constant. And you know, compared to last couple of months, I've had less on my plate, but I still feel I'm in overwhelmed land and I cannot get out of that into action mode. So I got away with not having, so I'm telling you it was great, but yet I didn't do a model at all until the first time yesterday, which goes to show that it was all honeymooning because I didn't really work on the mental side of things. I think it was just like a new concept and it worked so well. So I did my 24-hour plan, I followed, mm-hmm. and that was that, you know, but now that I'm having to actually, but because I didn't do the mental work to go with it, I'm like at a loss. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And you're not at a loss. You've just found the next stage that you need to work on.
Yes. So
let's reframe that. All right. It sounds like you've done a really good job with your four basics. You understand them, right? You got your hunger scale nailed. You understand where all that is. You're just not following plan.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, if I follow everything, I know I'll have success, okay. But I haven't been the
but
last.
You're just, all right. So you're not following your plan, which means it's time to work on the mental work.
Yes.
Right. You mentioned overwhelm. You know what happens? You know all the wonderful things you get done when you're in overwhelm? You know what they are?
Sorry, there was a little gap. So what did you say?
Overwhelm leads to inaction.
Yes.
Okay. You just sit there and you think about all the things you have to do and you don't do the thing.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I live in that land so much. I know.
Do you know how to get out of overwhelm?
No. Just do it.
One thing. Pick one thing and do it.
Yeah.
Because your brain cannot be overwhelmed if it's doing something.
Right.
Because it just sits and spins and spins and spins and spins. Yeah. But if you put your focus on something, then it's like, oh, look, we don't spin anymore because we have focus on something. So that's the quick fix for overwhelm. Just pick something and move into action, whatever it is, whether it's studying or cleaning the house or whatever it is that's on your to-do list. Okay.
Right.
How do you get from stage two to stage three? Now, for all of the newbies who have not done the four stages of weight loss, we'll go over those real quick. Stage one is, oh, look, a shiny new program. Let's jump in with both feet and learn everything. Excitement, right? You mentioned that. Stage two is when the new wears off. So that's where you are now, right? You're in stage two. The new's worn off. It's tiresome. It's boring. It's work. It's hard. You have all these thoughts, blah, 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 you know, about, I don't know if I can do this. I'm overwhelmed. And stage three is where you get once you've worked through stage two. Now, what can happen is you can go back and forth between these stages. So did you hit stage three at one point?
I thought I did.
Well, you may have.
Yeah.
You may have. And then you got either distracted or overwhelmed or something, and you kind of slid back into stage two a little bit, which totally can happen. The way you get back to stage three is you keep doing the work even though it feels hard. You keep showing up even though you don't want to. That's how you move back into stage three. So an intentional thought for you might be, I can show up even though I have other things on my mind. I can still do this even though, you know, whatever. Or you can say, I'm willing to do the work right now to get to stage three. Because that's what you have to do. You just have to keep showing up. You just have to keep, you know, when you hear those voices in your head that say, look, we need to just go off plan because we've had a tough day and we're overwhelmed, you have to just say, no, it sucks and I want to eat off plan, but I really want stage three more. And the more you show up for yourself and the more you push through the hard and the discomfort and the tiresome and the boring and the whatever it is you're feeling about stage two, the more you create evidence that you're back on track and that it's easy. And it's not tiresome and it's not boring. It's, this is what we do. We've done this before. We can get there again.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really all it is. You just have to push through the discomfort of stage two and keep showing up. Keep making your plans. Carry that plan with you. You know, if a Snickers bar comes by your desk, pull out the plan and say, it's not on the plan today. I guess I'll have to plan it for tomorrow, you know, and then decide or whatever it is. You just keep showing up to get to stage three. It's no magic.
Yeah. All right. So if I were to actually make a model out of this, what is, so I wrote,
let's do this. Let's play. Let's have fun with the model.
Okay.
Okay. We're going to work it from the bottom up.
Yep.
This is one of my favorite things to do. It's a model tool for everyone to learn. So we're going to do an intentional model, right?
Yep.
Okay. CTFAR. We're going to start with the result.
Yep.
All right. What's the result you want?
So I wrote to gain momentum to go into, I keep calling it phase, but stage three. And then, you know, because I think at this point, I really want to go into stage three more than I want to lose weight, if that makes any sense. Like, because all of, like, the four basics have proven to me that I can, if I follow it wholeheartedly, I, you know, I get the results. It's just staying on track and making it a lifelong change, as opposed to just getting the transient changes and then slipping back. So I want to go into stage three.
Okay.
Is that the result then?
So we'll put stage three as the result. And I just saw somebody pop into the chat and they wanted to know what stage three and stage four were. There is a four stages of weight loss in No BS that you can go listen to. But the quick lesson is stage three is where you're kind of on a roll and you're developing good habits and you're feeling good about it. Stage four is automatic. This is just what I do. It's a no-brainer. I'm here to stay. Okay? So your result is stage three. And I want to talk about momentum just a minute. Mm-hmm. Momentum, if you think about a snowball, where do you live?
Virginia.
Okay. So you've built a snowman. Mm-hmm. You start with a snowball and you roll it around on the ground and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger until you have a big base for your snowman. That's momentum. You have to keep rolling. You start small and you keep moving until that snowball gets big enough to be in stage three.
Right.
All right. So momentum is built with action. So in order to get momentum, you have to do things.
Yes.
Okay. All right. So
I think my problem was, and I just realized it this weekend, was I was trying to get back into where I was December, but I couldn't because I was doing so much in December. You know, I was working, you know, I started with doing 10 minutes on the treadmill, but by December I was doing, you know, 45 minutes and I was doing weights and I was trying to get back to that where really I needed to get back to the 10 minutes.
Okay. So your first action to get to stage three is to meet yourself where you are.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
What else do you have to do to get to stage three?
Baby steps, four basics, and journal and thought download.
Okay. Basics. TDLs. What else?
I mean, that's all I need.
Okay. So how do you have to feel in order to do these things?
So, and this is where I want to feel motivated, I want to feel excited, and I want to feel accomplished.
Okay. Pick one.
Excited.
Excited. What thought makes you excited about doing these things?
So that's where I'm stuck, the C and the T.
Okay. I don't think excited is the where word. You want to be. Mm-mm.
Okay.
No.
All right.
I think it's probably something more like determined or ready or determined, ready, motivated.
Mm-hmm.
Prepared, something like that. What do you like? Something, I think it's something like that.
I think I like determined then.
Determined. Oh, yeah. Invested. So Katie says invested.
Oh, yes, that is good nice. Too. Thanks,
you
Katie.
Like, you like that one? Invested?
Yes, invested.
That's a good one. All right. Now, what thought leads you to invested? And we're going to talk, we're going to say the C line is, we'll just say weight loss is the C line. Or PMP or weight loss, something like that. Weight loss, probably.
Okay.
Okay. So you thought about losing weight and getting back to the basics that leaves you with it invested. What is it?
I am open to believing that I can do this.
Okay. You could also say, I know that I can do this, or I have shown myself that I can do this. I'm worth this effort.
That's a good one.
You like that one?
Yep.
Okay. Let's use that one. I like that one for invested. I'm worth the effort. Are you? Are you worth the effort? Do you believe that?
No, that's why I started with I'm open to believing.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So that's the model. Does that thought lead to invested?
I think so.
Okay.
No? Yeah.
No, it's all you, girl.
Yep.
If that thought makes you feel invested, then this is a good model.
Yep.
Okay. So we have, I'm open to believing I'm worth the effort, leading to invested.
Yep.
Which leads to
meeting myself where I am.
Right.
That's where I was messing up.
Mm-hmm. And then doing your basics and mm-hmm. doing your thought downloads. Yeah. Do these things repeatedly, you're going to hit stage three.
Yep.
Right?
Yep. And I really like the thought and the feeling that we chose. Yeah.
So why aren't you worth the effort?
That's a whole different coaching call, Kathy.
Well, stay on the call. If I get an open spot, we can coach on it. That's probably where your thought downloads need to focus.
Yep.
So that you can stay in that model.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
And so you can up-level the model.
Yep. And I haven't, this is my first Zoom coaching call. So I just wanted to get on here and just put in the effort.
Well, good for you.
I am invested. So, yes.
Good for you.
I am worth the effort. So, thank you so much for
helping. You are very welcome. And we're here every Saturday and Tuesday. So, all come right. back if you want to work on the other.
Yes, okay. Definitely will.
All right. Thank Take you. Care. Mm-hmm.
And you're going to end this on your end, right?
Yep. I'm going to take you back down to an attendee. Okay. Call up the next person.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I don't know who this is. Lostergren. Where's my pen? All right. Look for your join audio. If you're on your computer, it's probably the bottom left.
Hello.
Yep, there you are.
Okay.
Hi, tell me your name.
Lisa.
Lisa. How are you, Lisa?
Good.
What's up?
I'm a September baby, my first mm-hmm. coaching call.
Oh, wow. Yay.
I started listening. I got the sun coming in, but I think you can kind of see me.
Yeah,
you're
fine.
I tried it on my computer and it didn't work, so I'm using my iPad.
Mm-hmm.
So my head's cut off. I started listening to Kryn in the middle of July. Mm-hmm. And then joined in September. I lost 9 pounds, joined in September. Mm-hmm. And then from September to January, I went up and down because I was playing with realistic plans and 24-hour plans and, you know, the whole thing. So January, I was the same as I was in September, which is fine. And then I've lost 7 pounds since that.
Okay.
So what I've realized in doing my hello, and I do my, I'm okay with my 24-hour plans, been doing those for like 5 months. I'm okay with water, sleep, all that. I it's my 2 to 2.
Okay.
I know what my 2 to 2 is, but I don't always eat to my 2 to 2. So
why not? Why not?
It's in the evenings. That's what I wanted help with. I have been doing a lot of notes and things that I'm finding it's dinner time, my dinner meal, and late night eating.
Okay. So what are you doing at dinner?
Pardon?
What are you doing at dinner?
I will have dinner meal, and I've started dishing up a much smaller portion. Mm-hmm. That was my husband's suggestion. So then I wouldn't, you know, and if I've got, you know, and it different. Sometimes it's different. If I have a few bites and I might have the, oh, it's only a few bites. Mm-hmm. But then sometimes I will throw it away. I do find times I eat a lot faster than my husband. So if I've been trying the last week to mimic him so that I'm finishing about the same time. And if I have leftover, then I can throw it away. I mean, so for breakfast and lunch, if I'm not hungry, I don't eat those. But if I am hungry, I think I eat real fast and then I throw the rest away. So dinner, I'm sitting longer with him. So I think that's part of it that I'm sorry, the sun's in my eyes. Kind of go this way. There we go.
So what's wrong with sitting longer with him at dinner?
My thoughts, I guess.
What comes up?
I'm not sure.
He's still eating, so I can still eat.
Yeah, maybe.
There's still, I may as well eat because I'm sitting here. What is it?
I'm not sure. When I eat past, I've had, you know, when I journal on it, you know, and it asks you what thought comes up. Mm-hmm. What I come up with is I definitely have that kind of anxiety feeling about wanting to stop. So I have that going on, but I'm not quite sure the thoughts behind it. I mean, so I know if I'm angry about something, but it's not always that either.
So is it really anxiety or is it just discomfort?
Maybe just discomfort.
It's probably just discomfort because it's something new.
Okay.
You know, you're probably telling yourself, well, I'm still here at the table. So maybe I could eat a few more bites. So really, I'm probably not at my plus two yet. You know, you're having this conversation in your head because you're still at the table, likely, because your husband's still eating.
Right.
Right? So that's the conversation you want to dial into so that you can figure out how to respond to it.
Okay.
Right? And I'm a big advocate for responding back to these thoughts. The coachy term is thought errors. Okay. It's the voice in your head that wants you to keep eating when you know you shouldn't. It's that thought that says, you're still at the table.
Okay.
Right? And then you come up with an answer to it that says something like, yeah, but I'm not hungry anymore. But if I continue to eat, I'm overeating. You know, whatever logic thought you throw back at it.
Right?
But you have to figure out what the thought error is, what the thought, you know, the one that's keeping you eating, the thought that's keeping you eating before you can really answer it.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to figure out. Because I know in the past I was, when I would get up and I'd want to, you know, he had a big thing like, you're done, you're going to throw that away, or you're, so that, and then it was like dish up smaller plates. So I don't know, maybe it is even almost I'm embarrassed that he'll think, well, why aren't you just finishing that last?
That sounds like, that might be it. And dishing up a smaller plate, you know, that's okay, but that still doesn't mean you're not overeating.
Right.
Might not be overeating as much.
Right.
Okay.
Okay.
So, what if he does say, you're not going to finish that? What if he says that?
I guess I could just tell him, no, I'm full. I mean, I've said that before. He is fully supportive of this process.
Yeah. So what happens when you say, no, I'm full? What does he say?
If it was a full amount, like if I had a bigger bowl, he used to say, are you really full already? Mm-hmm. Things like that.
Okay.
You know, like how could I be full already? But okay. I realized I need so much less food than what
so
I
So what if he says, eat. You're really full already? What are you making that mean?
Oh, probably that there's something wrong with me.
Right. And there's not. He's just surprised. He's just like, wow, you're really full? I mean, he's just curious.
Yeah.
Right? He's not like,
yeah,
anything. There's nothing.
No, just, he's not. Yeah, it's not.
He might even be a little nosy, but that's okay.
Yeah. Well, and that's why I think he felt so good by saying, you know, maybe if you take a smaller plate or dish up less, I think, he's trying to be very supportive.
Right. Yes. He's just trying to help. And you could dish up less, but that doesn't mean you're not overeating still.
Yeah. Okay. Because when I snack late at night, he tells me, you know, you're going to have to do one of those sheets.
You have a really good accountability partner at your house, don't you?
Yeah.
So, If you think about how he's just being curious, doesn't that help a little bit with the dinner time?
Yeah, I think that. Yeah, I think you're right with the dinner time. Yeah.
Let's move on to the nighttime stuff.
Okay.
What's going on there?
Well, we have we're at our home 3 nights a week, and then we have a vacation home we go to 4 days a week. So
that sounds nice.
Yeah, my husband's retired, but he still works 3 days a week, and but that's all changing real soon. He's going to be completely retired.
Okay.
So at that vacation home, I think it happens, well, it happens both places, but I think my thoughts there are, it's just laid back, relaxed, you know, that kind of thing. And so I'm not sure if it's, well, I think it might just be a habit that I've just always done. Mm-hmm. That just you grab and I recently put chocolate the last 2 weeks back on my plan because I was overeating or, you know, off plan eating with the chocolate. So I put it back on my plan and I'm trying to put quantity on there, but I'm still overeating the amount that I say I'm going to have.
Why?
It comes back to that fighting in my head. Well, the little package of M&Ms, he laughed at me and said, because I said I was only having one. He said, there's only 8 in there. So please me.
Yeah.
But I did sit with discomfort that night because he kind of like, okay, that's all you said you were going to have. So, you know, I don't normally tell him what I put on my plan. So so then I don't have to be a
because he's probably going to hold you to it.
Yes, he probably would.
He'd be looking across the room at you going.
Yeah. So I think it's just a matter of the sitting with the discomfort. There are some days I can do it and some days I'll fight with it. And then, you know, if I go up into the bedroom at home or at the vacation place, I have a rule. I don't eat in my sewing or craft rooms, and I don't eat my bedroom. So if I go up there, but I don't want to go at 8 o'clock and go up there, and I want to be able to spend time and sit with him.
So what if you make a rule that you don't eat after dinner? I don't want to make that rule, Kathy.
Well, no, I actually do because I do want to be successful. But just the fighting with my mind about it and not white knuckling it. I need to come up with some thoughts or what to do so I'm not white knuckling.
All right, let me ask you this question.
I do want to make the change. I do.
I asked somebody else this question yesterday or the day before. Where Are you 100% comfortable in everything you do all the time that's not eating?
No.
Where else are you? Where else do you experience discomfort?
I have a lot of anxiety things that go on during the day.
Like what? Give me an example.
Well, I have something that's, well, I can't really talk about, but there's somebody that's been causing issues.
Okay.
That's been going on for about 2.5 years.
Okay.
And just, it's almost harassment type. I've had to have a lawyer help. So that,
okay.
I have that in the back of my mind. A lot so, of anxiety with that.
All right. So you're a little uncomfortable with this person.
Yeah.
So you handle
like,
it.
Like, when's the next thing going to happen?
Okay.
You know? I mean, but the person's in prison, but they're
all right.
sorting.
So you, all right, there. Here's my point. Okay. You don't give in. You handle it. Every single time you're uncomfortable
yeah.
and the discomfort yeah. passes
mm-hmm.
until the next time. And then
right.
you handle
until
it.
Yeah.
And then you handle it. And then yeah. the discomfort passes.
Yeah.
Right. Can't you do this with food too?
You can do it. It sounds so easy.
It is easy.
I know.
We just create. Huh?
Drama. Really?
We just create these. Right. It's drama is nothing but a great wow. big story we put in our head about
yeah.
something. And
okay.
you've done it about M&Ms or chocolate or something,
yeah.
you know, whatever it is you're eating
okay.
in your vacation home.
Right.
Oh, we're relaxed, so we can relax all the rules. No. If
yeah.
you want to lose okay. weight, then you don't relax the rules. There's your
right.
decision point, right? What do you want more? 8 M&Ms or lose weight?
Right.
Right?
Right, because I mean, with putting on just a little bit of chocolate, I have had, you know, at least a pound of weight loss, you know, each week. It's just when I'm adding more, you know, I could probably have more weight loss if I'm reining in that eating
yeah.
past plus two
yeah.
and that snacking at night. Plus, it's not a good habit to even get
right.
into, and I don't want to be. Yeah.
Well, and you're if you're yeah. snacking at night, you're overeating because you're not at
right.
minus two.
And I'm not hungry
right.
when I'm snacking.
And you're right.
Obviously. Yeah.
Right.
So that's why I was only at 28% for my on plan eating and my 2-2 this last week.
Yep.
And last month was 50%. So
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So what's the next
yeah.
step?
Well, I went and I have a couple accountability groups. So in one of them, she had suggested that I do. She had shared some of her compelling reasons. So I went and I wrote 23 compelling reasons.
Nice.
So I will have those.
I would post them on the chocolate bowl.
Okay.
The nighttime eating, wherever the nighttime eating
is
taking place, stick your compelling reasons there.
Okay.
And you can hear my voice in your head saying, this is my decision point.
Yeah. Okay. And then I need to let my husband know this is what I get, what I want, and he will be more than happy to, you know, because he does. He wants me to be successful.
Yeah.
So,
well, that's, I mean, like
yeah,
I said, that's an accountability partner at home
yeah.
for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you can
so
tell
that,
him next time he asks.
Maybe the journaling, you know, when I'm sitting there with the discomfort, maybe to get out the pencil and the paper, I journal other times. And
you should
know,
absolutely do that because you need to nail into what that thought is.
Okay.
That's creating the urge to eat.
Okay.
Next time your husband asks you if you're really finished, you can ask him, why are you so curious?
Curious. Okay.
About how much I need to eat.
Okay. Yeah. I wanted to tell him, can't you eat faster?
No. He can eat as fast as he wants.
Yeah, I know.
Right? You just
yeah.
need to practice sitting there after you've hit your plus two,
yeah.
enjoying his company, being curious
yeah.
about how much he's going to eat.
Eat, yeah.
Because you're done.
Yeah, because I do great during the day.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
So that means you can do great at night too.
Yes.
You just have to figure out what the thought is that's leading to the urge to eat at night.
Okay. Okay. And I was trying to guess with things at times about it because I know Corinne said, always give it a guess.
Yeah.
You know? So
yeah.
I'll keep working on that.
Just
okay.
listen. Listen in your head.
Okay.
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 All right.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Bye. Okay. Who is next? Marsh, Vegas. These names crack me up. Oh, and you're in the dark. You may have just muted yourself.
Good. Yeah.
Oh, there you are.
Oh, shoot. I was hoping that I was hoping my lights would shine so that you could see me better. Because I wanted to be in my car so I'd have privacy for my family.
Is I got it.
Okay,
it.
If I'm in, if is it okay if it's dark?
Sure. Tell me your name.
Oh, I'm sorry, Sharon.
Sharon. Okay. So what's up?
Okay. So today, well, today was my 100th day also of plans, 24-hour plans, and yesterday, but 100 days of plans, but plans that mostly I had many off eats, like off plan eats. Mm-hmm. And so, yesterday I, had a complete day of all on plan. Mm-hmm. And today I am also in the same spot of being on plan. And this evening I was, doing some meal prep for lunches, and what I was cooking looked so good and I wanted to eat it. And that was not on my plan. And so instead of eating it, I got on my Marco Polo group, my lemons. And Angela Tremi said, you should jump on the coaching call. Because I said,
I love Angela.
I do too.
She's a sweetheart.
She is. Because of something I had said during, while I was sitting in discomfort on my Marco Polo group, and I was just, you know, rambling. And I said, I want to live a life not obsessed with food.
Okay.
And so Angela said, that would be a great coaching call. So, so I feel like my days are obsessed with food.
Okay.
And
why?
I don't, is that normal?
Why do you feel that way?
So, well, for example, today I was at work and, you know, I'm doing my work, but I'm also like thinking about what I'm going to eat next and looking at my plan. And it's just, I'm just thinking about food all the time. And why I don't want to be thinking about food.
Why not?
Because there's like so much other, there's so many other things to do in life. Like, I don't want to be so focused on food.
Okay.
But if I'm not focused on food, then I feel like I start slipping up. And
so are you focused on, are you focused on food or are you focused on your plan?
Oh, I think I'm focused mostly on food, but,
think about that.
Yeah.
If you just told me, if you're not focused on the food, then you go off plan.
Yeah.
So are you really focused on the food or are you focused on your plan?
I don't know.
Give me an example of a thought that leads you to focused on food. You started to say you're sitting at your desk or sitting at work and thinking what?
And so like today, for example, I was finding myself thinking about the delicious lunch that I had made and brought with me. And like, and then I, maybe it's like more PMP stuff that I'm obsessed with a little bit, but so I was thinking about the food that I was going to have for lunch and how hungry was I? And, so then how soon can I eat it? Cause I really wanted it. And, you know, trying to pay attention to my hunger scale. And then I got home from work and I know for myself that that time when I'm at home, before like I'm getting dinner ready and whatever, that has been a trouble spot for me previously where I'll want to eat all the food that I can find in my house. And I've been working on that. And so I was thinking, you're not going to eat any food. Look at your plan. What do you have in your plan? You know? And so I had like a couple of like, an apple and dried fruit and I hadn't had that yet. And I was thinking, well, I could, if I'm really hungry, I can have that. So just like those thoughts are what I feel like is cycling through when I want to spend my time doing, thinking about other things and doing other things. And I feel like I'm just like tonight while I'm food prepping, I'm thinking, oh, I want to eat this so bad. And I just don't know if these thoughts are like normal or if I need to be doing something to stop thinking so much about it.
Well, you have about 50,000 thoughts a day.
Yeah.
That's true. It might even be 60. There's okay. some crazy number of thoughts you have a day, every day. And you are really dialed in right now to the thoughts you have about food.
Yes.
Okay. So why is that a problem? What if that's really great, an awareness, because you're actually dialed into your thoughts about food? Let me read you the definition of obsessed. Okay. Because I looked it up while you were talking. obsess as a verb is preoccupy or fill the mind of someone continually, intrusively, and to a troubling extent.
Yeah. Okay.
Is that how you think? Okay.
Nope.
So what if you're just really aware of your thoughts about food and you're focused on your plan?
Okay. I like that.
Yet your level of thoughts about food that you hear stay the same. You okay with that?
Well, yes, in a way, because another thing I've been working on is like I push thoughts out of my head. Like if there's things I don't want to think about, I push out of my head. And so I more than likely have been doing that with food. So like if I didn't acknowledge that I just ate 5 cookies from Whole Foods, then it didn't happen. But I actually did eat 5 cookies the other day from Whole Foods, and mm-hmm. I did acknowledge it. And mm-hmm. I told both my accountability groups, and I wrote about it. And yeah.
So in this case, then it's, maybe I'm crazy, but I don't see a problem with your being so aware of your food thoughts, okay. especially because you seem to have conversation in your head about them.
Oh yeah.
My lunch sounds really good, but it's not lunchtime yet, but really it sounds really good, but it's not lunchtime. You know, this is the conversation I wish some people would have about their food rather than going, I'm just going to eat.
Right. Which was what I was doing, which I've done for 1,000 years.
Right.
And so I joined in last May mm-hmm. and, I'm coming to camp. And I'll be at the 2-day also.
Oh, wow. Awesome.
Yeah. So I have been working on not pushing away thoughts and speaking them. And so that's one of the reasons why the accountability group has been so awesome for me, because, and sometimes I tell them I probably should have my own Marco Polo group where I just ramble, because they get the brunt of all just my verbal vomit, like verbal TDLs, I call them. And, but it has been so helpful, because previously all that stuff was just sitting in my head and making me absolutely crazy. And now that I say things, it does take the power away from them.
So let's look back at this thought. I want to live a life not obsessed with food.
Yes.
Okay. Do you still agree that you're obsessed with food?
Well, when you read that definition, I would guess that I would say no.
All right. So what would you say? You're aware of your food thoughts about food?
Yeah. And I guess I have a lot of them.
Are you okay with being aware of your thoughts about food?
Well, I don't know that I am, but maybe I should be, I guess. I guess I should be okay with that.
Well, you should. I don't like the word should.
I know.
But what if you're just hearing them? What if they're always in there and you're just now hearing them? Okay, you walk into Whole Foods, you know there's good cookies there. You're going to think about the cookies, right?
Right.
Do you think you shouldn't think about the cookies? I'm going to tell you, if there's good cookies somewhere, I'm thinking about them.
Yeah.
I'm even having a conversation about them.
Right.
But usually the conversation stops because, I didn't plan the cookies, or I planned the cookies. It's one or the other. But it still means the conversations, the conversation gets in there and it starts.
Yeah, no, that is true. Because I had put one of those cookies on my plan. And as I walked up to the case, I thought, oh, one's not going to be enough. Mm-hmm. And maybe I should put 2 and then I could have another one tomorrow. And then I ended up putting 5 in my bag. And then I ended up eating them all. Oh, so frustrating.
Anyway. So what's beautiful about this whole conversation that you and I are having is that I don't have to ask you, so what were you thinking? You already know.
I know. Oh, yeah, yeah. I know.
Okay. That's just beautiful. Because now what you can do is you can look at those thoughts, you can write them down, you can video journal them, you can listen back, whatever it is you want to do, and say, there's a thought that always leads me to an overeat. And there's a thought that always stops an overeat. Once you start cataloging them because you know them, then you begin to realize which ones you need to, you know, put a hard no on and which ones that you want to repeat over and over.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
It does. Yeah.
So you're standing at the case, you've planned one cookie. You get five because one's just not going to be enough, right?
That's ridiculous.
So that thought, one's just not going to be enough, because that's a thought.
Yeah.
Is where you go, no, wait, I see it.
Yes.
One is going to be enough because that's all I planned.
Yes, I like it.
Okay.
Yep.
And then do it the other way too. You know, you're at your desk thinking about lunch. Lunch sounds so good, and you say it's not lunchtime yet.
Yeah.
That it's not lunchtime yet is the thought that you keep at the ready so that you don't go overeat before lunchtime or before you're hungry.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, that's good. It's a better way of thinking of it, because I definitely, like, I'll tell myself, I'm not a dog, I don't need treats. Like, I have lots of conversation in my head and throw lots of words. So it was feeling like it was a problem for me, but maybe it's not. That sounds better. But it's not
a problem. I think you can decide that it's not, if that's what you want.
Yeah.
I love the fact that you know what you're thinking.
I definitely do.
That's a good thing. I can't tell you the number of times I've asked somebody, so why did you do that? And they're like, I don't know. You know.
Yeah. I mean, this is a long time in coming, because previously I was awesome at giving myself amnesia and having no idea why I did anything in life, but especially eating. And I could just pretend like, oh my God, I have no idea what happened. I don't know why, you know, I don't know why I'm up 20 pounds on the scale. Mm-hmm. But now I'm being so truthful. Like my scale was up a little bit, and I said in my Marco Polo group, I know why I was up. I ate five cookies at Whole Foods. Mm-hmm. It's obvious. And so, yeah, I'm feeling better now.
Cool.
That's good. That's really good. Thank you.
You're welcome. Anything else?
Well, I mean, I could talk to you all night, but no, not for tonight.
All right. Thank you. You're welcome.
Okay.
See you later. Bye. All right. Tams. Whoever Tams is, these names crack me up. Hello, bottom left, join audio.
There we go.
Okay. I'm going to guess your name is Tammy.
Yes. Sorry. It was just easier to, I tried to get in a couple times, and by the end it was going to be T the next time I tried. So.
Is that because I started a little bit late?
Yeah. Sorry. It's the first time I'd done it. So I didn't know because I'm in Australia. I wasn't sure if I was wrong.
Oh, you're the one I replied to, right?
Yeah, thank you for that. Sorry, I wasn't pushing you there. I was just
no, scared. That's okay. Corinne was on another call. She was on a self-coaching scholars call, and she didn't need to be kicked off of that. So yeah, since I use, as you can see on the bottom, I'm Corinne Crabtree tonight. So I needed to wait. She was off her call.
Okay.
So, how are you?
I'm okay. Now, I'm going to try and make this as succinct as possible.
Okay.
Compact. I put a coaching call question on the website yesterday. I wish I would have saved it. Basically, I started in January.
Okay.
But I listened to the podcast and went through most of the programs doing that. I did all my stats, took my pictures, Mm-hmm. But I didn't make the time. I printed out the thing, but I didn't make the time to I wrote a little bit, but not all of it yet.
Okay.
I've lost about 4 kilos since January.
And probably, that's how many pounds?
Oh, sorry. 2.2 pounds to a kilo. So
okay. So about 10 pounds.
Yeah. Yeah. Perfect. Yep. So I say, well, that's because I was kind of doing it, right? So kind of doing it, kind of getting the results. Mm-hmm. And then I got an email with Corinne who did that, posted that, I don't want to say rant, but she was going hard about someone that had said the program's not working, right? And it wasn't my feelings, but she just jived with me that day. And I'm like, you know what? I really need to step up. If I'm doing this and the money's coming out of my mouth, I really want to get the most mm-hmm. out of this. So mm-hmm. let me do that. So I began, I spent 2 hours, printed out the workbook. I started my new month. There's a lot of paperwork and I was hard, right? So get to Monday morning and it's my second week of running. So I run, I'm a morning person. I get up early. And so I was like, perfect. Second week, I'm going to do my thing. First day of plan, off it completely. Like as in, and I'm studying at home as well. So I just went completely nuts. I did my assessment, and that was the first time I'd done a 24-hour plan, so that was a good thing. Did my assessment at the beginning of the day. Did my second day. I'm restarting the no BS. I've got it printed out. I'm actually writing on it, all that sort of stuff. But yesterday went off plan as well. And then today is the third day. But yesterday afternoon, the reason I sent that question is I was just like, I need to figure out what's happening here. And I was saying, and sorry, I wrote this question down so I wouldn't get off track, is I'm starting to feel overwhelmed with what if this continues? And then the other part of me is going, but I keep showing up. I keep mm-hmm. doing it. I'm doing a little bit of the fresh start. I'm showing up right now today because I didn't really want to do this, but I was like, you know what? It's something I have to do. Mm-hmm. And I thought, well, maybe this is like a past habit of me getting restrictions. And then I get the urge to do the opposite. But yet today I'm on plan so far. And then I'm stuck on the cleaning out the pantry task. Like, oh God, do I not want to do that? Not because of the food that's in it, but because of the time that's involved.
So skip that.
Yeah. Oh, skip that. See, this is the problem. I'm like thinking I need to do everything. And I just filled out while you were talking that four basic tracks of, you know, for me, I mean, like, I'm just like trying to do it all, I think.
No wonder you're overwhelmed.
I'm like, but I'm doing it. Like what you said is overwhelm leads to non-action. So get out of overwhelm by doing one thing. I'm like, right. Maybe I need to back it up and just focus on the 24-hour plan. I don't know. What am I doing here?
Well, I actually pulled up your question that's in Ask Coaches. Do you want me to read it?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. It says, hello. I've started. I guess your login is also Tams, right? This is you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
so it's 2 days straight of 24-hour planning, but not doing it. It says, hello. I've started doing the 24-hour plan. Been a member since January and lost 4 kilos. Yep. This is you. Kind of mm-hmm. doing the plan, kind of getting results. Good news. I felt a restart after watching Corinne's video where she was mad before the weekend. One, I have filled out all the stats. You've told me this. Printed everything out, chipping away at it. Two, I have filled out the 24-hour plan twice. This is the furthest I have ever gotten. But both days, today included, I have eaten off plan, just grabbing snacks, always in the kitchen. This might be procrastination too, as I'm studying in between. Might be. Now this is a big pattern from the past. Anytime I've ever given myself a plan to go off, I get it in my head. I'm restricting, but my plan is realistic. That was going to be my question. So unsure why. Why do I do this? You're just having a fight in your brain. Mm-hmm. What? A plan? I'm supposed to do something I don't want to do?
Yeah.
Right? And I'm on the second week of running and yoga, adding swimming in tomorrow, have quit alcohol, but food. Should I be kinder? Pack my lunch the night before. My energy at night says no, or maybe a coaching call is needed.
Yeah.
All right. So your plan is realistic. Tell me what's on it.
Okay. Let me grab my plan for today. Okay. So I've got bulletproof coffee. Oh shit, I did the wrong page. Sorry.
It's okay.
I just realized. Yeah. Okay, so I did my bulletproof coffee.
Okay.
I stuffed up yesterday with eating chicken wings. So I put
Go ahead.
Because I didn't have that on my plan, but
okay.
I made my plan today, chicken wings and salad.
Is that for lunch?
Yes, for lunch.
Okay.
And then dinner is blank because my son's cooking dinner tonight. So I left that blank, which I meant to ask my husband, but I haven't yet.
All right. So.
And then I've got snacks, yogurt, sun chips, pickles, and cottage cheese.
What time is it where you are now?
It is 10:30 a.m.
Okay. So yogurt, sun chips, etc.
Yeah.
What was the other thing?
Pickles and cottage cheese.
Okay. You've had your coffee?
Actually, I put caffeinated. I normally have decaf, which is why I think I'm a bit woo.
You're cracking me up.
No,
You're on plan so far?
Absolutely.
Okay. So lunchtime is going to be in what, an hour or a couple of hours?
I get up at 4, so I'm probably thinking about 40 minutes.
Okay. Are you hungry yet?
No.
Will you be hungry in 40 minutes?
Yes, I will be. I'm pretty sure anyways. Usually about 11:30 is when it hits, yeah.
Okay. Are you going to eat wings and salad?
Well, I made chili yesterday, but it was too hot. And now I'm thinking, see, this is what I mean. This is what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
And it was too hot. And I'm like, well, maybe I should have that because I'm the only one in my family that can eat it. I don't know. So no, I'm not going to. But see, that's the debate. Do you see what I mean?
So why did you make chili yesterday?
Because it was supposed to be for dinner, mm-hmm. but Australians don't really like chili, but I'm originally Canadian, so I was going for it. And I put half the spices in it and it was hot. So now I've got this big slow cooker of chili that's sitting there that nobody's going to eat but me. So yeah.
Can it go in the freezer?
Yeah, absolutely. Which is what I will do with it. See? <We're out. laughs>
So you have a pretty strong negotiator in your head.
Oh, massive.
Yes.
Massive.
That's what you need to shut down.
Okay.
That's the voice that you need to say, thank you for your feedback.
Yes.
Wings and salad are on the plan today. You have to practice commitment to yourself.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you shut down the negotiator. I have a negotiator also.
Yeah. Well, that's reassuring.
Yeah. Well, I do.
Yeah.
So I'm familiar with the negotiating voice, as I'm sure a lot of people on this call are.
Yeah. Yeah.
But really, that's all it is. You know, you make a plan and you tell yourself the decisions are already made. And if you eat off plan, then you better like the fact that you're eating off plan.
Okay.
Okay. So the decision's made, wings and salad for lunch. This dinner, I'm not so keen on. It's just blank. What can you plan about dinner?
You know what? I think I just, my son's 8, so I don't want him to be disappointed I'm not eating it. That's why, but what I'm thinking is I might do chili for dinner.
No, the son is cooking dinner. I'm asking you, what can you plan about whatever this mystery meal is?
Yeah. Well, I guess I would just focus on my portion control and making sure that I've got salad or I've got veggies on the side, especially at night. I've noticed that I have to have either salad or veggies. Otherwise, I feel just like crap.
Okay. Usually. So yeah. That goes on your plan right now under dinner.
Yeah.
You put, what's his name?
Colton.
Whatever Colton fixes.
Yeah.
Plus a salad or veggies to my 2. Yeah.
Now, that thing, the 2 thing, that's next on my list.
The 2 thing.
Well, because it stresses me out, quite frankly.
Why?
I don't know, because I listened to this in a podcast on my way in the car, but it's the hunger scale thing, right? So yeah. I just haven't, like, I really think that I haven't, I don't know enough about it.
Okay.
So maybe I do that. Maybe I skip the pantry thing and I do that video today to get a better understanding, because that's what I feel. I just don't have enough information for me to feel like as if I'm confident in that at all.
Okay. Right now. Do you know what satisfied feels like?
Do you know what? Since January, I actually do. My portion size have cut and I'm like, and I've got it on my thing. When satisfied stop, right? Mm-hmm. So I've been thinking that. And even if I don't think I am, I just stop and I give myself a minute and I drink lots of water. So I have that water thing near me and then I just wait. Okay.
So I don't think your issue is procrastination. I think you indulge in confusion.
Confusion. That's good. That's good. I like
seriously. It. I mean, do you see that? I don't understand it. I'll have to go back and look. I don't, I made chili. Yes. I don't know if I can eat the wings. I'm confused about what to have for lunch. I don't know what that hunger scale is, but I know what satisfied is.
Tell yourself
you don't understand.
Mm.
And that's where you give yourself permission to go off plan.
Absolutely.
Okay. So when you see yourself doing that, here's what you do.
Yeah.
If I weren't confused about this, what would I know?
If I wasn't confused about this, what would I know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Perfect. Got it.
Yep. Confusion stops you dead in your tracks.
It's
just like overwhelm. I don't think you're overwhelmed. I think you're indulging in confusion, and that allows you to eat chili instead of wings.
Yeah. Gotcha.
That's your excuse to eat chili instead of wings, because you're not really confused.
No.
You're just spinning around going, really want that chili. Oh, maybe I don't understand how this planning works.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like comes down to my belief of I have a belief that you need more information to make a decision, because I'm very careful about decision making, right?
Yep.
So I say, well, you need more information. So that belief is not serving me in this circumstance. It serves me in others, but not in this circumstance.
Not in this. That's correct.
Yeah.
Have you listened to the podcast where Corinne coaches me on decision making?
Ooh, okay. Would that be in like members private?
It's in the public podcast, the Losing 100 Pounds podcast. Corinne is a champion decision maker. If anybody in the chat has a minute to look up that number, it was just, I don't know, 6 or 8 or 10 weeks ago. It wasn't that long ago. She is a champion decision maker. Okay. She creates parameters by which she's going to make a decision and she gives herself a timeline. So she bought a house.
Mm-hmm.
Just moved, right?
Yeah.
They saw the house come across, you know, they got notified that this house came on the market. They went and looked at it and they said, by the end of the weekend, we're going to have a decision. And they did. And they bought it. They knew it fit the parameters. They knew it fit whatever. And they bought the house. Okay. So she asked me in this podcast, why do you have trouble making decisions? What comes up for you? And I came up with 5 things. I don't remember them all now, but it was like, I don't want to make the wrong decision. I'm afraid of disappointing someone. I'm afraid I'll make a mistake. Things like that. Right?
Yeah.
And so I sit and stew before, I ponder is my word, before I make a decision. She's like, if you're 40% sure, that's enough. Just make the decision. Because guess what? If it's the wrong decision, you can make another one.
Yeah, exactly. That's so, so true.
It is true.
Yeah. Okay.
I think that podcast is called How to Make Decisions Like a Boss, or How to Make Decisions About Your Food, or something like that. Decisions is in the... Oh, Heather says episode 96.
Awesome. So thanks, Heather.
Yes. So... I think that would be a good one for you to listen to. She coaches me pretty hard on my podcast.
Oh, no, that's brilliant. Yeah. That will go down brilliantly. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Can I quickly ask one more question?
Sure. Mm-hmm.
accountability buddy or group. So I'm in a semester at university right now. So I always take a break off Facebook during that 3 months. I have popped on every now and then to do something, but I don't engage much in the Facebook community. But with that, and I'm in Australia, do you think that I should get one? Or do you think, I don't know, I just see a lot of people mentioning they've got accountability partners.
What do you think? Do you think one would be helpful to you?
I think in some ways, but I'm not a big texter.
Do you have Marco Polo in Australia?
I don't even know what that is. I don't know.
It's probably not. Probably not then. It's a video messaging, basically. It's like text messaging, except it's videos. If you're not a big texter and you're not real interactive, I don't know that it would be very helpful to you, because it's someone that you would check in with every day or two, or when you're in indecision about whether you should eat chili or wings or something like that, that would help you work through that. Pretty much, you know, pull the BS light on you and go, it's wings, Tammy, that's what's on the plan. Right? But it's also really good because it's someone that can pull you out of indecision by reminding you that you've already made your decision.
Okay.
So there's a lot of really great reasons to have an accountability partner, but they would need to feel good to you. It would need to be something that worked in with your lifestyle or time zone. I'm sure we if anybody knows, if we have other Australians, Mary Jo would. So, so if you decide you want to try that, post in the Facebook group and tag Mary Jo and say, do you know if there are any other Aussies here?
Okay, awesome.
Or, you know, I think there is. I want to think there's at least a girl in New Zealand.
Oh, is there? Yeah.
I think
so. Either way. It's all right with me. I thought maybe so, if I'm maybe just specific about what I'm looking for as well. But I will check out that. You said it was called Marco Polo? Yeah, I might check out and see if we have that app as well and then go from there, because I was thinking it might just be just on Facebook, and I was like, oh, that won't really work. But if it's that does give me a little bit more of thought around that.
Yeah, awesome. That could work. It's super easy to pop off a video message.
Yeah, that's what I do with my friends in Canada, is I don't even text. I send video messages.
Okay.
Yeah, so that would work really well, actually, on my end. So I will have a think about that. Thank you so much, Kathy.
You're very welcome. So Heather says, I'm pretty sure that Marco Polo has function in Australia and New Zealand, so you can look for it. And then post in the group and see if anybody is from your area of the world. I think we do have several people, though.
Yeah, I would think so. It's because I heard about the podcast from someone at work.
So. Oh, wow. Really?
We're
international.
No, it's brilliant.
Yeah.
Okay. Awesome. So, thanks so much.
That help? You good?
Well, now I'm not going to beat myself up because I'm thinking I'm procrastinating. But yeah, no, I think I know exactly where to go. I need to start making decisions like that. And I'm doing what I'm supposed to. So I think, and I'm going to skip the bloody pantry thing for now.
That's fine. Actually, to be perfectly honest with you, that might even be coming out of no BS for the next group. That's why I said just skip it. It's helpful. I need to do it myself, but it's not 100% necessary in order to lose weight. The four basics are what's necessary.
Yeah, no, exactly. It was a fence I put up, and that was just like, and as soon as I seen it, I literally had this open and it's not like checked off. And I just look at it and then I just cover it.
I have to stop because I haven't had time to clean the pantry. And that's probably why she's thinking about taking it out, because it was a roadblock for people.
Yeah. No, it was for me.
Just tear that part right out of the book. Put a big red X through that one.
I will. Okay? I'll do that. Thanks
All right.
so much.
You're welcome. Take care.
See you later.
Oh, how fun. All right, Christina. You're up. This has been fun tonight. I love not having to beg for people to coach. All right. Look for your join audio button, bottom left.
Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for chatting with me.
Absolutely.
I wanted to talk to you about no sugar, no flour.
Okay.
Okay. Sure. I have been doing this for about 3 weeks, or this is the beginning of week 4.
Okay.
So I've really liked it so far. I feel like food is less entertaining now because I'm not eating sugar all the time. So I've become less interested in just like eating randomly because I'm like, well, that doesn't sound entertaining and I'm not really hungry. So I'm going to move on. So I've avoided a lot of the overeating, but I wanted to talk to you a little bit about the exception or the joy meal. So it's the beginning of week four and I haven't had a like exception or joy meal yet. I had one planned for, like a week or so ago, I had one planned where I'd planned it on Monday. I was going to go and I was going to eat a grilled cheese and fries, at this restaurant that I love and was going to go do that. And then even like on the way to the restaurant, I was thinking about how excited I was about this. I had had it. And then like the moment the waiter asked me, I was like, I just want a salad. Because I was like, no, I'm not supposed to eat that. And like, that's not, I mean, I had it on my plan. I had done everything I was supposed to do, but my thought was still like, I would rather lose weight than eat this. So I'm just going to eat like something that's no sugar, no flour compliant instead.
Okay. How'd you feel about that decision?
I mean, I felt fine about it when I was walking back to work. It was like, oh, well, you know, I kind of felt like, oh, well, good for you. You like did what you were supposed to, like you followed the rules, I guess. But afterwards, I was really, or like right afterwards, I was kind of bummed about it because I had been looking forward to it. But that thought came to my head of like, well, I'd rather lose weight than eat this.
Okay.
So I was just like, okay, well, I'm kind of okay with that decision, but I know, I mean, I don't anticipate like I will never eat sugar again in the history of my life. So I'm trying to figure out how to move past that to be able to feel okay about eating some like as a joy or like a planned exception.
Well, I think I think what I'd like to know is why you made the decision not to have your exception meal. I want you to talk a little bit more about why.
Yeah. So I had been thinking when I was planning, because I knew I was going out to this restaurant later in the week. So I went and looked at their menu to see, okay, is there something else that I could eat that's no sugar, no flour compliant? Because thinking at this point, I don't know. Like, I don't know if I want to have an exception meal on Thursday. So I'll just see if there's something is. And I found a couple things that were and then thought, oh, I should just plan an exception because I love this restaurant. I love their grilled cheese. I love their fries. I love all of that. But then that moment when the waiter asked me, that thought was in my head of like, well, you shouldn't eat that though, because that won't get you the results that you want.
Okay. You shouldn't eat that.
Yeah. Like I should.
Is that true?
Well, I mean, I think it's true for, I mean, I shouldn't eat it every day, but I think I was just struggling with, okay, well, but I did plan it. I did, you know, I was looking forward to it, but I was also thinking with no sugar, no flour, I'm weighing myself every day. Are you still there? Okay.
Yep.
I'm weighing myself every day. And so I didn't want to see that jump on the scale the next day.
Oh, do you think you will always see a loss or maintenance on no sugar, no flour?
No, I mean, in the last couple of days, I've seen, it's kind of been like a zigzag. I mean, it was going down the first like 2 weeks, but then now it's been kind of like a zigzag, just depending on what I've been eating. So,
What do you mean depending on what you've been eating?
Like there are some days where like, if I eat like rice, it might go up a little bit more versus like, if I just eat like a lot of veggies one day, then it'll go down or it'll.
Are you
like,
okay with that?
I mean, I don't want to give up rice. So I'm like, it's going to be fine.
Do you want to give up exceptions for the rest of your life too?
See, not the rest of my life. I don't want to give them up, but I feel like right now it's in my mind. I feel like
there we are.
Yeah.
You don't want to give them up the rest of your life, but right now you have to give them up in order to see weight loss.
Yeah. And that's, you were supposed to live. We're supposed to do this the way we're going to live it forever.
Right. That's why you plan exceptions.
Yeah.
What's beautiful about an exception is the day after the exception. So you go and you have your grilled cheese and your French fries, did you say?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What happens the next day? Do you throw the baby out with the bathwater, or are you back on no sugar, no flour?
I would like to say I'm back on no sugar, no flour. That's, but I, at this point, I haven't had an exception yet. So, I mean, when I was going through that like detox with sugar, like the first like 3 or 4 days were really difficult. Like one day I was like shaking because I hadn't had sugar in 4 days. And so I would prefer to not feel that way again and not do that again. So I think if I mean,
let me just tell you, you're likely not to do that again if you have an exception once every week or two.
Okay.
What you will have is if you do, let's say you do eat something real sugary, like, I don't know, an apple fritter or a couple of donuts or something like that.
Yeah.
You'll have a reaction to it as you, after you eat it, you'll, your body will, you'll feel the sugar and the flour in your system.
Yeah.
But you won't detox it again. It'll, it'll almost, do you understand what I'm saying?
That's good to know.
What?
Yeah. That's good to know.
Yeah. Yeah. You'll, I can definitely tell the next day, like I went out to eat with friends on Saturday night, and I had bread out of the bread basket for the first time in years.
Yeah.
And I had a piece of, this strawberry cake, fresh strawberry cake, something or other. I split it with my husband.
Yeah.
The next day my joints ached. Yeah. And I knew, I mean, I know why, you know, it was the sugar and the flour I ate the night before, mostly the sugar probably, but a lot of the flour.
Yeah.
So you'll feel it the next day and it will be very enlightening because then you'll realize how sugar and flour does affect your body. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't mean it's just the currency. It's the currency you pay for having an exception. Once you have that data, you can decide if you want to have a grilled cheese sandwich, you can have one and you know that you can get back on plan afterwards.
Okay.
Now, that's the most important thing that you want to learn from having exceptions is how they make you feel and whether or not you get back on plan.
Okay.
Because you're not going to live an exception-free life.
No.
Right? You don't want to.
Right.
So why not teach yourself now as you're losing weight how to have a little bit of an exception and then come back from it afterwards and evaluate?
That makes more sense. Than never having it again.
And then here's the other thing. You've probably heard me say this. I'm a French fry snob. I'm not going to eat French fries from anywhere. I learned that through planning exceptions. I'm not going to waste an exception on a bag of frozen French fries that are dumped in yucky oil.
Yeah.
You know? So that's the other thing you learn about planning exceptions is what you can enjoy to the fullest and be happy with, and then go back to plan afterwards.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
It does make sense. It makes me feel a little bit better about actually planning an exception and actually following through with it versus saying like, oh no, I'll just eat a salad. And the thing is, like, I even put a salad or the grilled cheese on my plan because I wasn't convinced that I would actually eat the grilled cheese.
Mm-hmm. You know, as long as you didn't avoid the exception, is that me making that noise? As long as you didn't avoid the exception out of fear, then you're probably okay to make that decision in the moment. But it sounds to me like you were more, I shouldn't eat that. I might gain weight.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that really is sort of out of fear.
Right.
So, you know, you just want to watch your reasons. You want to like your reasons for not going through with your plan.
Okay. So if it's more like, oh, I just don't feel like eating a grilled cheese, or, oh, the fries here aren't, they're not as good as like somewhere down the street and like we're not going there today.
Right.
Then it's okay. But more like, okay, if you're just afraid of what the scale is going to say tomorrow, you probably should just go ahead and eat it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Have you done the No Sugar, No Flour course?
So I have, yeah.
Okay. Go back and listen to the exceptions module or unit or whatever lesson again and listen to what Corinne advises on it. Go back and listen to that again just to solidify it in your mind.
Okay.
Okay? Awesome. You feel good on No Sugar, No Flour?
I do. I have felt a lot better. I think I've had like a lot of anxiety too. And I've seen, I think I've talked to you about that before, but I've seen that go down in the last couple of weeks now that my body is not so hyped up on sugar all the time.
Yeah.
So that, that was also like a big reason for doing it, is that I don't want to take medication for anxiety. So I would, would like to handle it another way. And so I have really enjoyed that benefit of it.
You sleeping better too?
Yeah. Sleeping much better.
So, isn't that funny?
And you were talking about joints too. I was walking down the stairs and like a month ago, my knees would have hurt walking down the stairs. And now it's like, they don't hurt until the very end of the stairs, as opposed to like throughout the entire time. So
what's really interesting is that it can really benefit some of us.
Yeah.
And some people see no change at all.
Oh, wow.
Like Corinne, no sugar, no flour doesn't she doesn't notice any difference at all.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, you know, it just goes back to how different each one of us is and how different our protocols are.
Right.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Does that help? You got it?
Thank you very much, Kathy.
You're welcome. All right.
See you later. Have a good night.
See ya. You too. Bye. All right, you guys. I don't see anything in the Q&A. And I don't know that there was anything in the chat other than that stage 2, 3, 4 question. But I'm going to scan these here real quick just to make sure. I have enjoyed office hours tonight. I guess somebody found Tammy the Habit Tracker. She's funny. All right. Everybody, oh, there's a new message. Let's see. Oh, Russ says, thanks. You're very welcome. All right, you guys, I'm going to let you go for tonight. Betsy will be back on Saturday. And, of course, you can always hit us up and ask coaches. So you guys have a good night. See you soon. Bye.